Begin the current daf mesech, the Shabbos daf pei beis. We begin three lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which was talking about the different things a person does in the lavatory, in the bathroom, and this began because we were speaking about different things of Yitzah on Shabbos, one of them being the different pebbles and stones that a person could use in the bathroom on Shabbos, and now we were speaking about the different proper conduct in the bathroom. So Amalei Rav Huna l'Rabbi Brei, Rav Huna said to Rabbi his son, "My time alo shchichas kamed Rav Chizda, t'mechadin shmaite. Why is it that you're not found to be one of the students of Rav Chizda, that his teachings are very sharp, you should be learning by him?" So Amalei, my eyes like a basis, Tati, why am I going to go to him? When I go to him, I only hear mundane matters from him, things that I have no use. They're not Torah, they're not shtiklich Torah. Why am I going to go to sit by him? And he says, I'll give you some examples, Tati, that you'll see that he's not teaching me any Torah. Only manda ayla besakisi. You know what he says? He teaches that whoever goes to the bathroom, he shouldn't sit down very quickly and very strong, because then the rectum opens up very quickly, very strong, and then you could rip the muscles of the rectum, and it could come out. And also he says, a person should not strain himself too much when he's going to the bathroom. The high karkashta atlashina yasu, because this rectum it hangs on these three different muscles over there, and dilma mishtam tushinika de karkashta, and maybe these muscles are going to be dislocated. But also it's going to come to danger. So these are the types of things he says to. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to his son, "Who asik b'chay divri yasa? He's involved in the lives of the people. Torah is supposed to mean that it affects, that has a pertinence to your life. The Atam bin Lama, you say he's just saying some mundane, random things. Rather, kol shekein ziligabe, definitely now I say you should go and learn by him, because these are things that are very important. These are words of Torah that are related to the daily living of a person, to Oirech Chayim." So the Gemara continues regarding the proper conduct in the bathroom with what does a person wipe himself with. If a person had in front of him a rock and a shard of pottery, which item should he choose to wipe himself with? Rav Huna Amar Mekanech B'Tzroi V'In Mekanech B'Cheres. He should wipe himself with the pebble, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about on Shabbos, that although that the pebble is something that's it's not allowed to be normally moved on Shabbos because it's muktzah, still you should use the pebble and you should not use yourself to wipe yourself with the cheres or the shard of pottery because of the danger inherent, like we said, because on the previous stuff that you might come to rip the muscles that are there by the rectum, and therefore on Shabbos, even though generally pebbles are muktzah, you should rather use that than using the shard of pottery. You should wipe yourself with the shard of pottery, and because it has, it's because that's not mukta, it has a Torah, it has a halacha of a vessel on it, because it could be used to hold like a flaming coal or other things. And you should not wipe yourself with a pebble because that's mukta. So the Gemara asks, Mesvi, we learned this exact case that the Amirama arguing about, that if someone had in front of him a pebble or a shard of pottery, he should wipe himself with the shard of pottery and not with the pebble. So to Yevtra Huna, it seems to be a refutation of the opinion of Huna that says that you should wipe yourself with the pebble, although it's mukta because of the danger of the cheres. You see, the Brisa says no, that you should wipe yourself with the cheres. So the Gemara says no, it's not a refutation, because Tirmigam Rav Papa, Rafram Bar Papa, Kamed Rav Chizda, Alibad Rav Huna, that Rafram Bar Papa gave an interpretation on that Brisa, according to the opinion of Huna, that that's talking about Beugni Kalim. Talking about the rims of vessels, which are very smooth, and there the dust, and that doesn't cut into the flesh, and that's not going to be dangerous for the muscles of the rectum. And therefore, in such a case, yes, then you use the cheres and not the tzror. But if it's a dangerous type of a cheres, which normally that's the way the shards of pottery are, then the Brisa would agree to Rav Huna that you take the pebble, although generally it's mukta, and not to use the dangerous cheres, the shards of the pottery. So he said, if someone has in front of himself a pebble or grass to wipe himself, and this is even during the weekday, so which one do you use? Rav Chizda, Rav Nun, Rav Machlekes Amirah. Chadam mekanech b'tzror ve'en mekanech v'asam. You wipe yourself with the pebble, and you don't wipe yourself with the grass, because the grass are moist, and that cuts into the person's flesh, so the danger, you don't use grass. V'chadam mekanech v'asav ve'en mekanech b'tzror. You wipe yourself with the grass, and you don't wipe yourself with the pebble, because the pebble could also be dangerous to the person in the rectal area. So you might ask, Mesva, we learned, if someone wipes himself with something that the fire has control of, another that's flammable, so then his lower muscles over there by the area of the rectum will fall out, and that includes even grass that it should be asur also, because that's also flammable. So therefore, how could that amoira say that you use the grass to wipe yourself with if that's going to have the danger of using something that's flammable? So the Gemara says loy kash. Ha-balachin. This day we said that it's mutter to use grass to wipe with. That's when they're moist. And that's not flammable because it's too wet. Ha-ba-yavashin. This day we said that something that's flammable is also. That would include grass. That's by dry grass. And when we were talking about was moist grass. So now the Gemara says, related to this topic of relieving oneself, it says, Hanitzuch lifnei ve'inin. If it's someone that has to relieve somebody doesn't, he holds himself in. So Rav Chizra Avinu, we have two opinions of what happens to such a person. Chadam ruach roshelatis. By one, the Amiram says that then a foul breath takes a hold of him. That's the bad breath that a person has, because then you have all the garbage that's festering, that's continuing to deteriorate in his intestines, and it comes out. He burps it up. It comes out through his mouth. Chadam ruach zuam roshelatis. By that, perspirational odor. This is a bad body odor that takes a hold of him. That is, his whole body smells because it comes through his pores. The sweat that's going to be it's going to be full of the what he has inside of him that comes out is not only that he's going to have bad breath, he has a bad body odor. So the Gemara says, "Tani kemandam ruach zua mosholetis." But that we have a brice that seems to say, like the one who says that he has this bad sweat, that this perspiration that he has, it's a whole bad body odor that he has if he doesn't relieve himself. The Tanya is learning the Brisa, Nitzach in the Kav of Yechav. Someone that he really has to go to the bathroom, and in spite of that, he's eating more. It's like an oven that you're heating up on top of the old ashes. In other words, you usually have to clear out the old ashes, put a new firewood. Same thing as the body. The body is like a machinery, and you have the old ashes inside of it, and you're still putting in more stuff to use as fuel. That is like the same type of thing that a person would do with the oven. And the Brisa says, that's the beginning of a bad body odor. Again, that's because the person's not relieving himself, and it's coming out through the pores. The waste is coming through the sweat, and that's why he has this bad body odor. So then the Gemara says, if someone has to relieve himself, but he just can't go, it's not opening, it's stuck, what should he do? That if he wants to relieve himself, but it's not coming out. So the Gemara gives four opinions what he should do. Rav Chizda says, yamad v'yeshiv, is to get up, sit down. That helps to relieve his system, to open it up, that he should be able to go to the bathroom. Rav Chana ben Ardoa, he says, yistalik litzdad, and he should move himself to the sides. That is when he first attempted and he checked himself in this corner, then he should go to this corner and try himself. He should go move to different areas to try to relieve himself. Rav Nunam, and the third opinion says, Yimashmish b'tzroi b'oisimakam. He should manipulate himself with a rock in that place to try to put something in that area, in the rectal area, to be able to open it up. Rabbanam Yisichda, the fourth opinion says that he should stop thinking about it, and that will help him go to the bathroom. So the Gemara asks on that. Omle Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav al Rav Ashi, kol shekin d'chimasach d'ayit l'mafni. If he's going to remove himself from it, and then he's going to stop thinking about trying to go to the bathroom, definitely he's not going to be able to go to the bathroom because he's not going to be attempting to try to facilitate it. So Amalei, what it means is, Yasich Daitim Dvar Machirim. He should try to move his thought from other things rather than only focus on going to the bathroom, and that will help him relieve himself. So now the Gemara brings a story that seems to back up the opinion of Rav Chizda. Did Amar Rav Yimri Medifti, L'didi Chazil Liyahutai, I saw this Arab merchant, the Kam Yosef, he got up, he sat down, until he poured himself out like a bucket. In other words, that it emptied himself out. That it was the first opinion that we said of getting up and sitting down that helps open up the system to help himself relieve himself. So related to this, the Gemara brings Tarbon in the Brisa. Hanichnas l'sudis keva, something that's going into a long meal, and it's going to be embarrassing for him if he has to get up and go out from the meal to go ahead and relieve himself. But so he wants to clear himself out before he goes in to the chasna or whatever, to this big meal. He should go a distance, 10 times a distance of 4 amas. And that is, he should wait between each time, check himself, and then go again. And this he should do for 10 times, walk the distance of 4 amas. V'amrilan, some say, a different version, Dalit pam mishal eser amas. 4 times, and each one of the 4 times to walk a distance of 10 amas. Which is better, because walking the larger distance will help the waste come down to the rectum, and therefore it's walking this 10 amas is better, and waiting and doing that 4 times, that this will help a person relieve himself, that he can go into the meal and he won't have to come back. As the Gemara says, v'nichnes v'yeshim kamei, and then he'll relieve himself, come into the meal, and sit down in his place, and then he won't have to get up because he already relieved himself. So now the final mission of Perek continues discussing the shir of itzah, of transporting something on Shabbos from one domain to another domain. So he said, regarding cheres, regarding earthenware, the minimum amount to be considered significant to be chayv hitzah is kedilitin being patzim lechaver, to put between one slat and another. That is when they would organize slats or pillars or beams. They would make a big pile of all these different things. And there would be a space between one and the other. And they would put this cheres in between them so that it shouldn't make the item under it crooked. So they'd put this earthenware between it. That amount that could go between one slat and another, that's considered something, a chashev share of earthenware. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The amount of earthenware that can be used to pick up a flame, that's the minimum amount. Enough to pick up a revius of liquid. So Rameya says, even though it's not a real complete proof to my opinion, that the amount of being considered significant of a piece of earthenware is enough to pick up a piece of a flame, but there seems to be some type of a allusion to it from the following pasuk, that cheres considered chashev if it could pick up a piece of a flame. It says a pasuk in Yeshaya, lo yimotze b'mechisasoi cheres, that it won't be found amongst his pieces a shard, lachtes esh miyakud, to pick up fire from the hearth. And this is talking about the punishment the Klal Yisrael is going to have. There's not going to be nothing there. But ultimately what we see is that what's the smallest thing? You won't even have a shard, a cheres, lachtes esh, to pick up a piece of a flame. So we see that what's considered the smallest thing that's significant by a shard of cheres is to pick up a flame. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda said back to Reb Meir, Misham Raya, from that pasuk being approved, go to the end of the pasuk. It says, v'lachsif mayim megeva, and then to scoop up water from the hole. So therefore you see that the hole where the water is gathered in it, that's the shear for the cheres, which is my opinion that the cheres has to be the size of picking up a revius of liquid. So the Gemara says, Mistabr shiurd Rabbi Yosi nafesh. It makes more sense to say that the measurement of Rabbi Yosi is larger than the measurement of Reb Meir. And that is, it seems that Reb Meir is more machmer because he says enough just to pick up a flame, and he doesn't say how much that is. That definitely would seem to be a small amount of earthenware that's just enough to pick up a small little coal, whereas to pick up a revius of water requires a larger piece of earthenware. However, umikrov, but from the pasuk, shiud Reb Meir nafesh, it sounds like that the measurement of Reb Meir is larger, not the measurement of Reb Yosi. And how do we see that in the pasuk? The yisalke daitech shiud Reb Yosi nafesh, because if you're going to think that the measurement of Reb Yosi is larger, is the pasuk going to be cursing Klal Yisrael by saying you're not going to have anything, everything is going to be broken? That first to say you're not going to have a small measurement, you're not even going to have a cheres to pick up a flame, and then they give a curse, you're not going to have a piece of earthenware to pick up something larger? What do you mean, for sure, if you're cursing, he's not going to have even such a small piece to pick up a flame, definitely he's not going to have a piece of earthenware to pick up something larger to pick up a revius of water. And therefore, when you look at the pasuk, it sounds like that to pick up the water is smaller. Because again, as we said, because if you think that to pick up the water is larger, then it doesn't make sense to the order of the pasuk. Why are we cursing first something smaller and then something larger? That's not the way you usually curse. You curse even greater. Not only that, even that is going to be. So what is it? Which measurement is bigger? Is it Reb Meir's measurement or Reb Yosi's measurement? So therefore the Gemara says, Amar Baya, Masnit Nami, Lachtes Eish Mikida Gedoyla. When Reb Meir was giving his opinion, his is bigger than Reb Yosi's opinion. That's why the pasuk first curses with Reb Meir's measurement, and then Reb Yosi, even Reb Yosi, who's smaller. But l'chayra, to pick up a flame, is smaller than what's necessary to pick up a revius of water. So there, Rabbi says, our Mishnah is talking about when we're talking about picking up a piece of a flame from a large bonfire. And that is, when Reb Meir says to pick up the fire from this large bonfire, that even if it's a small flame, a small coal, but you wouldn't be able to pick it up with a piece of cheres unless it's very big, because you're going to get burned from the bonfire. So therefore, that's larger than the shear of getting a revius of water, and that's why Reb Meir is the larger shear. He's the more lenient shear, and that's why the pasuk first says his. And not only won't you have enough to pick up a flame from a bonfire, but you won't even have enough to pick up a revius of water. So the Mishnah concluded. Reb Yosi says from there it's proof to the picking up the shard to picking up the fire from the hearth. What do you mean? You have the end of the pasuk. It says that it won't even have to scoop up water from the hole. So the Gemara says, Shabbat Kamal Reb Yosi Meir. It seems to be that Reb Yosi has a good point to Reb Meir. From the fact that it curses the later thing, that it's even that it's not going to have for revius of water, that it's fit for that also. And as the Gemara just proved before, the Reb Yosi's share is even smaller than Reb Meir. So how are you saying that it has to be enough to pick up a flame from a large bonfire? You see, the end of the pasuk says that the earthenware is used even for picking up a revius of water, which is smaller than it should be chayv even for that shear. So the Gemara says, Reb Meir interprets the pasuk as that is not necessary. In other words, the pasuk's cursing you, and not only won't you have something that's fit for people to use, that even that you won't have, but even something that people won't, don't even use, which is because the shear of a chashava piece of earthenware is only the size that a mayor uses. But it seems that the pasuk is saying that it's used for picking up a water. He says, no, even something that people don't even use it for, even that you won't have. And therefore, just like that Reb Meir's opinion is that it's not considered a chashav shear only for the picking up the flame, but we're saying that even the water you won't have, and that's the curse. So therefore, Reb Meir's opinion is that there's no proof in the pasuk, because the pasuk is saying even something that normally people don't use. Hanu lach ha-metziyayin, we shall return to you, perek ha-metziyayin. This is the conclusion of the 8th perek of Masechta Shabbos. Now we begin the 9th perek, perek Rabbi Akiva. So Rashi says that there's an interesting construct to the Mishnayis in our perek, that since ultimately a later Mishnah wants to say, minayin shemechitzin es ha-mila, from where do we know that one is allowed to bathe the child on the third day of the Mila, which is regarding to halachas of Shabbos that we're speaking about. So therefore we mentioned all these different Mishnayis that have a similar terminology of minayin. From where do we know this from? That's where our Mishnah begins. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Minayin la'avoy dezara shemetama b'masa kanita. From where do we know that an idol has the tumah of masa, of carrying it, just like a nida has, a menstruating woman has the tumah of nisa for a man that carries her. Shnema, like it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, which is regarding loss of love to the future, that said, tizrim kamay dava, that they will, it's in reference to avodah zarah, that they will cast them away like a nida, like a menstruating woman. Say, Tamerloi, that you will say to the avodah zarah, go out. And that is, what's the comparison between avodah zarah and the nida? That man nida mitama mabasa, just like a menstruating woman, is it conveys tumah of masa when you're carrying it. So too, an idol, Avodah Zarah, transmits tumah when it's being carried. And that's where we know the source for the tumah of masa of Avodah Zarah, because we learn that from comparison to anida, to a menstruating woman. So the Gemara says, now, as we learned over there in the Mishnah, Mishahoya Kaisal Basil Samach Avodah Zarah. If someone had his wall next to the wall of an idol, and that is, that wall was used to separate between the church, the base of Avodah Zarah, and between his home. And then the nuffle, the wall falls down. Asa lev noisi, now I'll rebuild the wall, because that's helping the avodah zarah, because you're building their wall. So kitzi asa, what should you do, but you need a wall in your house. Koinis l'toich shaloi dalar amas abayin, so you have to bring in the wall four amas into your house, and then build it there. Then you're not helping the avodah zarah, because now it's in your rishus, totally a chashav shir of four amas, and then you could build the wall over there. Continue on to amid beis. The Gemara says, hoi shaloi v'shal avodah zarah. If the wall was half his and half the avodah zarah, then nida mechza mechza. Then it's reckoned half and half. In other words, half of the wall's area is considered from the four amas of coming into his property, because the chacham required to separate from the area of the avodah zarah four amas and to come into his property. So therefore, you could already start counting from halfway through the wall, because since that half was already considered your domain, now you could consider that area into the area of the four amas that you have to go in and then build the wall over there. Then, and this is what comes in relation to our Mishnah, it says, Avana ve'etza va'afarav, regarding the stones and the timbers and the mortar of the Avodah Zarah, mitamin kisheretz, it conveys tumma like a sheretz, that is just like a sheretz, a creepy crawly, one of the insects, and that it conveys tumma by maga when you're touching it. So too, Avodah Zarah, when you touch all the different elements of it, will also convey tumma. So then, like it says, a pasuk, but regarding Avodah Zarah, it says, Shakitz teshakzen of a goyim, says that it will utterly abominate, it should be totally disgusting to a person. So it uses the terminology of shakets, which is the same terminology used by a sheret, by a creepy crawly thing, which there it's not metama b'masa by carrying, only metama with maga with touching. So that's the same thing of avodah zarah. We learn that by a sheret, it uses the same terminology of shakets, that it only conveys tumah by touching and not by carrying. That is the opinion of the Tanakam. Rabbi Kiva Omer Kenida. So Rabbi Kiva says, no, the avodah zarah, as we said in our Mishnah, has the same status as a nida. Shenem, like it says, a pasuk, as we quoted, tizrim kamaydavam, that you will throw it out like a nida, like a menstruating woman. And that is, man nida mitama b'masa, avodah zarah mitama b'masa, just like a menstruating woman conveys tumah for someone that carries her, so too avodah zarah, an idol, conveys tumah for someone that carries it. And that is, the reason is because someone that carries a nida is compared to a zav. As it says, v'hidva b'nidasa, v'azav, it says regarding the menstruating woman in the same pasuk as a zav. And Azav, we know, kameis tuma by carrying him, as it says in the pasuk, b'chala negeya b'chala sheyitachdu. If anyone touches something that's under the zav, yitamei ad arav will be tamei until the evening. V'hanoisi oisam garment, and whoever will carry them. So therefore, that's including the zav also. And that, from the comparison of nida to zav, the same thing applies to the nida. And avodah zarah that's compared to the nida will have the same status of having the tumah of masa. So you have machlekes over here between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama, if avodah zarah is compared to sheretz that only conveys tumah with touching, or avodah zarah is compared to nida that will convey tumah even with masa with carrying it. So now the Gemara brings the machlekes of my room to understand this machlekes tanoim. Amar Rabba, tizrim, it says in the pasuk that you will throw them out. The amar kra that the pasuk says, what does it mean? Nechrinu minoch kizar, that you should estrange yourself from the avodah zarah like a stranger. That's the word tizrim that has the word zar over there. That is, you should be totally distancing yourself from avodah zarah. And the pasuk says tsei toimer loy, that you will tell the avodah zarah go out. What it means is hikonis al toimer loy, that you will not tell him to enter into your property. In other words, again, the same concept of totally distancing yourself from avodah zarah. And that's why Rabbi Akiva used that pasuk to show that just like a nida that will totally distance oneself because of the tumah of a nida that they used to have a separate place where they used to stay, that just like the tumah of nida is that even if you carry it, so to have a desire will have the tumah even if you carry it. So now Rabbi explains in detail this machlekes. Vamar Rabbi, b'masa de kula amaloi pligi de metame. Regarding carrying the avodah zarah, it's not true. No one argued, not Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbanan, that it is going to convey tumah by carrying it. No, especially nida, because you have a pasuk that can equate avodah zarah to nida, and therefore, just like by nida, that it conveys tumah for carrying, so too avodah zarah. So, what is the machlekes? It seems to say that the Tanakhama compared it to sheretz. So he says the machlekes only was ki pligi be'evin mesama. Machlekes was regarding the halacha of what's called an evin mesama, a placed rock. And this is a unique halacha about a rock that's placed on top of pegs, and you have kalim vessels underneath it. As it says, a pasuk in Daniel, which talks about this concept. And the idea is that if a nida or a zav sits on top of this rock, so even though it's not weighing down on the kalim because it's on a stand, still the kalim are going to be tumim. As it says in the pasuk, kol asher yitachdu, whatever is under it, and it's under it, so though it's not weighing down on it, it will convey a tumah of nida and zav through this evin mesama, through this placed rock. So what's the machlokes regarding avodah zarah? We know that applies to the halacha of nida. What's the halacha regarding avodah zarah? Reb Kiva sabe kenida. Reb Kiva, as the pasuk equates, he says that avodah zarah is just like a nida. That man nida nida metame be'ev mesama, just like a nida, that it conveys tuma even by this placed rock. As we said, whatever's under kolash yitach, whatever's under it will have the tuma. So avodah zarah metame be'ev mesama. So to avodah zarah, because we equate it with nida, will also convey tuma if it's on top of this placed rock, even if it's not weighing down on the vessels under it, will convey tuma to them. However, Rabban and Savi Kesheretz, when we said the Rabban say that we compare avodah zarah to a sheretz, it wasn't to say, as Rabbi says, that it only be matama by touching. No, it's matama even with carrying, like by nida. But we're equating it to sheretz to say that masheretz limitam be'ev masa, just like sheretz, does not convey tuma with this placed rock. It's only by nida and zav that we say that. Avodah zarah limitam be'ev masa, so to avodah zarah does not convey tuma by the placed rock. So that's the machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabban. So don't think that the machlekes is regarding if it's metame b'masa or not. No, everyone agrees that it is metame with carrying. The only question was if it's metame b'evim masa mesama or not. So now the Gemara asks, well, Rabbi Akiva, l'may hilchas iskash l'sheretz. Couldn't Rabbi Akiva, for what purpose did we equate avodah zarah to sheretz if we're saying that it has nothing in common with sheretz? It's totally like nida in the fact that it conveys tumah with touching and with carrying and even v'evim mesama for the placed rock. And it has nothing in common with sheretz. The Gemara says, "Lemeshamshe," for the things that are used in the service of avodah zarah, not the avodah zarah itself, but rather the things that are used to assist avodah zarah, that we say that they're not metama, not with carrying, not with the tumah of masa, and not with the tumah of evim mesama of the placed rock. Rather, just like a sheretz only conveys tumah by touching, so too the things that are meshamish avodah zarah only convey tumah with touching, but regular avodah zarah itself would convey tumah in all forms, just like a nida. So the Gemara says, "Rabbanan, but according to Rabbanan, l'may hilchasa iskash l'nida. For what purpose is it compared to a nida?" So what are you going to say? Because according to Rabba, the Rabbanan agreed that it's not total like sheretz, that it's only conveying tumah by touching. So you're going to say l'masa, because as we said before, that just like nida conveys tumah by carrying it, so too it's going to convey tumah by the avodah zarah when you're carrying it. But the Rabban hold that it won't convey tuma when it's on the placed rock like Nida is. That way, Zor is different. Because for that reason, we compared it to Sheretz to say that no, just like Sheretz is not conveying tuma, Be'ev Mesama, so too, Avodah Zarah won't. But then the question is, if that's why we compare it to Nida, V'luk Shri Rechmona L'Nevela, let the Torah just compare Avodah Zarah, if that's the halacha we wanted it to show, to the tuma of Nevela. Because Nevela has the tumah of Masa when you carry it, but it doesn't have the tumah of Ev Mesam, and that's better. Because now you won't have to compare it to Sheretz and to Nida, because you're saying, the reason why you compare it to Nida is it has the tumah of Masa. So then we say, why are you comparing it to Sheretz? To take it down a notch. That it shouldn't be just like Nida with the tumah of Ev Mesam. That it's just like Sheretz is not Matama Ev Mesam. So now you're somewhere in the middle. That conveys tumah with touching and with carrying it. But then, instead of comparing it to both to equal each other out, just compare it straight to Nevela. By the corpse of a dead animal, that we say that it's metama by touching and by carrying, you should compare Avodah Zarah straight to that. So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, you're right, that would have been a simpler way. But the reason why we have to compare it to Nida and then to equal it up by comparing it to Sheretz to say that it's not metama Ev Mesama is because we needed to learn up something like Nida. Elama Nida Eini Lavarm. That just like we find by the Tumah of Nida, that it does not apply to the separate limbs of a Nida. That is, if a limb was cut off from a Nida, it will be metama because of mass of carrying or in the tomb of oil in the same tent because the halachic status of an eved min achai, but it will not be conveyed the tumah of a limb of a nida, and the difference would be that it would not be metama by eved mesama. That is, although a nida is metama by the placed rock, but if it has just a limb of the nida of the menstruating woman that was cut off from her, if that's put on a placed rock, then although it will have a halacha of Eved Menachai, it will not have a halachic status of nida. So just like we find by nida, it does not apply to her separate limbs, only the full nida itself. Avodah Zarah in Lavarim, so to the idol is not applicable to its separate parts. For example, if this Avodah Zarah made out of different pieces, and each separate piece will not convey tumah because of Avodah Zarah, it's only when it's the full Avodah Zarah. But that's why we had to compare it to Nida, although it would have been simpler to compare it to Nevela. The reason why we had to equate it to Nida was to say that just like Nida does not convey tumah with our separate parts, so the Avodah Zarah will not convey tumah with its separate parts. But then the Gemara says, if that's what you're learning about Avodah Zarah from Nida, but this question Rav Chama Bar Gurya had, which is on the next daf on Pegimel Mabez, where he asked this exact question, that he said, Avodah Zarah yesh levam or ein levam, does the tumah of Avodah Zarah, does the halachic status of Avodah Zarah apply to its separate pieces or not, only to the whole of Avodah Zarah? So Tif Shalemaha, let him go ahead and resolve from this, the Rabbanan ein levam, that according to Rabbanan, it does not apply to its separate parts, because we're saying that's exactly why we compare it according to the Rabbanan to Nida, to say that just like Nida does not apply to its separate pieces, so to Avodah Zarah. And that the Gemara is correct. But Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Rav Chama Bar Gurya was asking his question according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that does not say that the reason why we equated to Nida is only for this halachic aspect of that it's not going to be metame its separate parts like a Nida, because he equates it to Nida totally for both Maga, Masa, Evan, Mesama, and therefore he was asking, according to Rabbi Kiva, would it apply to its separate parts or not? This was all the opinion of Rabbah explaining the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakam. However, the Gemara brings an amar that argues on Rabbah. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Be'evin Mesama, regarding the placed rock, the Kuli Amaloi Pligi Deloi Metama, that everyone agrees, even Rabbi Kiva says, that it will not convey Tumah when it's by the Evin Mesama, because everyone agrees that it's compared on some level, at least to the Sheretz, and by Sheretz it says only touching and not carrying, and therefore everyone agrees regarding the Evin Mesama that it's not going to be conveyed Tumah by, although it's equated to Nida, however it's taken down a notch, that it will not convey Tumah by the placed rock. Rather, Kipligi B'Masa, their whole machlikus was regarding the tumah of carrying the Avodah Zarah. On that, Rabbi Kiva Saber Kenida, he says, he's compared to Nida. Man Nida Metame B'Masa, just like the menstruating woman is, it conveys tumah for one that carries her Avodah Zarah Metame B'Masa. So the idol conveys tumah for the one that carries it. Rabbi Saber Kesheretz, but it says, no, we compare it to a Sheretz. Ma Sheretz Metame B'Masa, Avodah Zarah Metame B'Masa, just like a Sheretz, this creepy crawly creature, does not convey tumah by carrying it, so the Avodah Zarah will not convey tumah for someone that carries it. Then the Gemara asked this, the questions we asked before, according to the opinion of Rabbah. So, Rabbi Kiva, Lamai Hilchas Iskish L'Sheretz. So, according to Rabbi Kiva, why did we compare it to Sheretz if Sheretz was saying that it's totally like Nida, it's going to be conveyed Tumah, both with touching and with carrying? So, for what purpose did we compare it to Sheretz? So, Gemara said, L'Mashamshe, for the things that assist the Avodah Zarah, but it's not the Avodah Zarah itself, that there it would only convey the tumah for things that touch it, just like Sheretz only conveys tumah for things that touch it. Rabbanu l'mayechasi iskeshal nida, but according to Rabbanu, then why did we compare Avodah Zarah to Nida if it's not going to be metame b'masa with things that carry it, it's totally like a sheretz. And that the Gemara says, as we said before, man nida ain lavarm, avid zarin lavarm. We need it for that other aspect to say, just like by nida is not going to give a tumma with her separate parts, so too, avid zarin is not going to give a tumma with its separate parts. I continue at the top of Pei Gimel Med Aleph. Then Rebbe Kiva, lamai hilchasa iskish lenida. So according to Rebbe Kiva, for what purpose did we compare avid zarin to nida? Is lamasa. That's what he said, that it's going to convey tumma for carrying it. So then the question is, lukshin nevela. Then just equate it to nevela, which is exactly like it's supposed to be, which nevela only conveys tumma with touching and carrying. So instead of comparing it to nida, which is that it's going to convey tumma even with carrying, which is unlike sheretz, and then sheretz pulls it down a notch, that it's not going to convey tumma with evan misaman, only with the tumma of only with the conveying of masa, that because sheretz doesn't have that same status as nida. Why do that? Why go nida, pull it down a notch because of sheretz, which is lower down, and then it ends up somewhere in the middle? Just go straight and compare it to nevela. Now, you want to say, Nechanami, you're right. That would have been the easier way. But the reason why we equate it to nida and then pull it down with sheretz is elaman nida in lavarm. Avodah zarah in lavarm is to tell that concept that we said before, to say just like nida does not convey tumma with our separate parts for a limb that's cut off for her, so with avodah zarah does not convey tumma with its separate parts. Then the Gemara says, now we're stuck. Elhad debayi Rav Chama bar Gurya on Amud Beis, he asked this question. Avodah zarah yesh in lavarm ein lavarm. Do we say that the halachic tumma that applies to avodah zarah is to the separate parts or not only to the whole avodah zarah? It comes out according to the explanation. Rebbe Lez is saying that both according to Rabbanan and according to Rebbe Kiva, the reason why we compare Avodah Zarah to Nida is to tell this concept that it does not convey Tumah with its separate parts, just like Nida is not. So the Gemara says, you're right, that would be the outcome of the opinion of Rebbe Laza. But Rav Chama Gurya, ki Rabbi Masni. Rav Chama Gurya explains the machlekes between Rebbe Kiva and Rabbanan as Rabbi gave the interpretation that he said before, that according to Rebbe Kiva, that even for Evan Misama, we compare it to Nida, and therefore we cannot compare it to Nevela. And therefore that's not difficulty. And Uboyullah Ali Rebbe Kiva, and he asked the question according to Rebbe Kiva, that is, did we compare the halacha by the Zara to Nida, even for the Kula, of that it's not going to be for that for its separate limbs? Or did we say, no, only Lechumma did we compare by the Zara to Nida, that is to say that it's going to be Mutama with all the different things of touching and carrying, and even Evan Misama that plays rock, and that the question is, would it be even lekula that also just like nida is not going to be for its separate parts of the body? So only lechumah do we compare it. That was the question based on Rebbe Kiva, because it's not true that Rebbe Kiva and Rabban agree that the reason why we learned that from nida is only to tell this halacha of the separate parts, because it's not true. The reason why Rebbe Kiva learned from nida and not from the nevela is because nevela is not matama rav masama, and Rebbe Chama bar Gurya learns like Rabba's opinion that Rebbe Kiva is matame that way desire even with the evan masama the place rock, and that we would only know from nida and not from nevela, and therefore that his question still stands, because again he was saying it like Rabba according to the opinion of Rebbe Kiva.